This morning, open your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We are finishing out this section of John 3 that surrounds the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. This will be the last week we are in the Gospel of John. The next week we're moving to look at the book of 1 Thessalonians. But we've seen much as we've looked through John 3. In this passage, Jesus has taught us much. Scripture has taught us much. We've seen the whole doctrine of the Trinity, God the Father, the work of God the Son, the work of God the Spirit. We've seen that it is the love of the Father that is the motivating cause of our salvation. The reason that Christ came is not because Jesus had to twist the Father's arm to save people. It was the Father's love that sent Christ. He sent the Son to save the world. We've also seen this passage, the desperate need of humanity, that all of us are plagued by sin, even if we don't realize it. We've been bitten by this disease, by this poison of sin that infects us, and we all need salvation. We all need a rescue, a deliverance, and this has been provided for by God Himself. And now we come to the end of this section, to the conclusion of the matter at hand, to the conclusion of the teachings of Christ to Nicodemus. If you would please stand with me and follow along as I read this passage in its entirety down to verse 21. So beginning at chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you of earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. You may be seated. A lot going on in this passage, and we are not going to review everything that we've discussed. Our focus for this closing section is just going to be really on verses 19 through 21. And in 19, it starts with this, and this is the judgment. Light has come into the world. Christ is the light that is being talked about here. We're not talking about just a generic knowledge, a generic, you know, photon, a generic light. We're talking about Christ. When it says light has come into the world, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the light of the world has come. Jesus is the light of the world. And what we find in this passage and throughout the Gospel of John and throughout all of sacred scripture is that Christ is the light of God, and outside of him, there is only darkness in the world. The world, it's like if you think of creation, before God said, let there be light, the world was just a mass void of darkness. This is equivalent to the world before Christ came. And Christ, the light of the world, came like a shooting star, if you will, and came to the earth, and in Him spread the light of God to a world that was covered in darkness. Christ is the light of the world. In Him is no darkness at all. Outside of Him is only darkness. The Gospel of John, this is one of the main themes of the Gospel, identifying Christ with the light of the world and sin and sinners as those who are trapped and enslaved in darkness. And John continues this theme into his epistles. Matter of fact, in the beginning of 1 John 1:5, John begins his epistle this way by saying, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So we find in the Gospels, John says, Christ is light and there's no darkness in Him. And then in the epistles, God is light. We see that Jesus is the light of God. And He's the light of God that was sent to save the world. And how does He save the world? By first exposing sin. By exposing the lies of sin. That's what light does. It shines a light on that which was hidden in the dark, so that what was once concealed in darkness can now be easily seen. Hey, think about it. If your kids are playing with toys and their room is a mess, and then they shut the light and close the door and it's night out, and you open the door and try to walk in there, you're going to be tripping and fumbling. And what is this? Why? Ow, my foot hurts. My leg jumped. What is going on? You don't know what's going on in here. Then you turn on the light. Ah, now you can clearly see. It's Legos on the floor. Oh, and they move that side table right in front of the door. That's a great place for it. It's right at my knee height. And you begin to see clearly. Oh, this is what was here before. I could not see. This is how salvation works. This is what the light of God does. He comes into the world to save it, and He saves it by, first of all, revealing what is truly going on. You see, because of sin, we are all blinded and living, groping around in the dark. We are blinded by pride. And here's the crazy thing about pride. Even though we have been blinded by our own pride and vanity, pride deceives us into thinking that we actually can see all right. Our pride convinces us that we're not in the dark. We're actually in the light. We are a sophisticated, civilized people. And you know what? We're moving even closer to the light the more we progress as a society in our liberal ways or whatever it is. This is what humanity thinks. That we're actually in the light and we're progressing into more light. But the reality of the matter is, you're in darkness and you cannot see at all. And this is why Christ came, because humanity left to themselves, all of us would just continue on in darkness, unaware of our true and desperate need. But Christ, as the light of God, comes and shines the light of the Word, of His life, of His death, of His resurrection, of His ascension on the world. And and God uses it to awaken and to quicken people so that they begin to see the true need of their soul that they were once blind to. See, pride deceives us. And it deceives even men like Nicodemus. Here's a man thinking he's in the light. And he comes to Jesus in the dark. And Jesus has to teach him, hey, you're not in the light like you think you are. But you're actually remaining and living in darkness. See, men, because we're blinded by pride, we think we're in the light. But the reality of the matter is, we're blinded in the darkness because of sin. And Christ comes and shines the light on our pride, on our vanity, on our sin, and shows us our true and desperate need that we are sinners before a holy and just God. And this light of the world that has come into the dark world, we see in this closing passage, Jesus, as He's getting very practical here at the close of this section, He's dealt with many important and heavy theological concepts, and He's getting very practical at the close here. And we see He gives two basic responses men have to this revealing light. Because again, verse 19, this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and that He's referring to Himself. The light of God has come into the world. Okay, how do men respond to this light? There's only two responses people have to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Okay, there's only two responses people have. The first is, you can hide from this light. You can hide from it. You can refuse to come into the light. You can run away from it into your dark corner, your dark nook, and say, I'm not coming out. I'm staying here in what's comfortable to me, what I know, what I love. I'm going to stay here. You can't make me come out. And by hiding and running from the light, what this reveals is that the person who does such a thing is just showing their union with Adam the first. When the light of God came to the Garden of Eden, what was Adam the first's response? He ran from it. And he hid from it. And what this was showing is Adam was saying in that moment, I would rather be in darkness than come into the light. I like my darkness. I'm ashamed of maybe what I've done, so I'm going to hide from the light of God. So those people who reject Christ, who run from Christ, who hide themselves from the light of Christ, what they are showing by their actions is that they are in union with fallen Adam. They're responding the same way as Adam did when the light of God descended upon the Garden of Eden millennia ago. Well, you think, okay, why would people do such a thing? Light is good. You know, there's a reason why everybody's afraid of the dark. The dark is freaky. Who likes to be in the dark? I remember one of the punishments as growing up, and my dad will probably laugh at the story, is I was, you know, talking back to him a lot, being very disrespectful, preteen or however old I was. We lived out in the woods, by the way. This is up in northern Wisconsin. And I've always been afraid of the dark, right? My dad stops the car like a half mile from home and says, walk home. And I was like, yeah, right. And he's like, no, get out. I'm not moving till you get out. And I walked home and I was freaked out. I was sure there's wolves tracking me everywhere. I think Sasquatch was behind. It was scary. We hate the dark. There's something scary. So why would people, when the light is given, when the light is offered, why would people say, nah, I prefer darkness. I would rather stay in ignorance and unbelief, in deadness of sin. Why would anybody do that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gives three reasons why people prefer darkness rather than the revealing light of Christ. And the first reason, the first thing is they love the darkness. That's the first reason they prefer darkness to light. And we dealt with this last week, so we're not going to get heavy into this, but this is verse 19. They love the darkness. Verse 19 again. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people loved the darkness rather than the light. The reason people don't run to Christ when he is freely offered, when the light of God is offered to people, is because deep down, even if they reject it, you know, and say, no, that's not me, I don't love it. Yes, they do. They're just deceiving themselves, because the reason Christ, the wisdom of God, is telling us, the reason men reject the light is because deep down they love darkness. They love sin. They love that which is opposed to God. That's what darkness is symbolic of, because God is light and him is no darkness at all. So people who live in darkness are those who live without God. They despise and they do not like anything having to do with God. They have nasty and rude thoughts about God, and they stay in their darkness because they love it. The problem is not on God's side. The problem is their hearts are twisted and dead in sin, and they love that which God forbids. They love that which is evil. They love darkness, specifically their sin, because their works were evil. Verse 19. They love passing pleasures, momentary pleasure in their mind. Those who reject the light, momentary pleasure in their mind is weighted as being of more value than eternal glory. In their mind, they say, I'd rather have this season of miserable bliss than eternal glory of unending joy. And why would they make such a decision? Because they love their sin. They love that which is darkness. That's what Jesus says. Temporary treasure that rusts, fades, and that can be stolen and corrupted is cherished more than the treasure that cannot rust and will not fade, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Because the truth of the matter is, what you treasure shows where your heart is. Is this not what Jesus says in Matthew 6:21? Where your treasure is, there also will be your heart. You want to know what's going on in your heart, and this is what we'll get to at the close of this sermon, but you want to know what's going on in the heart? Look at your life. Look at your life. Look at your thoughts about God. Look at how you treat other people. This will show you where your heart is at. It's not a deep mystery. Ooh, I wonder what is going on in my soul. It's evidenced by how you live. And the evidence that there is darkness in the soul will be a loving of the evidence that there's darkness in the soul will be that you love your sin. You're not willing to break with it. You're always trying to hold on to it and say things like, well, if that person would do something, then I would give this up. Or you're always trying to just make it so that you're not willing and not able to renounce your deeds of darkness. This is to love that which is sin. Where your treasure is, the things you treasure in life, that shows where your heart is. And those who treasure wickedness show that their heart loves that which is wicked. That makes sense, right? They love the darkness. This is the first thing the Lord Jesus says. A second reason, and this is tied to the love of the darkness, that people refuse the light of Christ when he's offered freely, is because they hate the light. They love the darkness, and it's not just like apathetic, like, yeah, I just kind of prefer it. I'm more of an eternal being. It's just light is not my thing. That's not why people turn away from Christ. It's because they love darkness and they hate Christ. They hate the light. The message of God, the revelation of God, because that's what Christ is. He is the revelation of the character and being and mercy and love and justice of God. If you want to know what God is like, look into the face of Christ. Philip, do you really want to know, as Jesus responds, what God is like? Show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know God, know Christ. But the people who love the darkness, they hate God. Therefore, they hate Christ, who is the revelation of God. So those people who are living in wickedness, but say flattery, like, oh, yeah, I love Jesus, I just don't like Christianity. That is it's impossible, okay? That is a logical inconsistency. What they have done is they have created a Jesus in their mind that they're okay with. But the Jesus of Scripture, they cannot stand. Because those who love the darkness hate the light. And Jesus, the Word of God, says this himself. This is the judgment, verse 19. Light has come into the world. The people love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light. See, you cannot have two ruling masters, two directing loves in your life at the same time. You cannot love opposites. You cannot love the light and at the same time love the darkness. It is impossible. The Lord Jesus says as much himself. He says, for no one can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot have two ruling loves in your life. Yes, I love Christ and I love everything that is antichrist. Impossible. It's one or the other. You're either in the kingdom of the beloved Son or you're in the dominion of darkness. You cannot, if you love the darkness, what that means is, by necessity, as Christ says, you hate the light. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What union has Christ with Belial? And what Paul is saying is, you can't be both. You can't say, I love wickedness and I love righteousness. You can't be in both camps. And this is what Christ is saying. If you love the world and the things of the world, as the Apostle John says in 1 John, then you are at enmity with God. And that does not mean you cannot enjoy and give thanks to God for the blessings of this world. He's talking about the ruling desire, the ruling motivation of your life. Are you simply living to consume, to have what you want, to feed your lusts, your appetites? That's loving darkness. Such a person is opposed to the light of God. You cannot have two ruling and directing loves working in your heart at the same time. If you love the darkness, you hate the light. Again, this verse, this is the judgment. Light has come into the world. People love darkness rather than light. And skip down to verse 20. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. So that's the second reason why people choose darkness rather than light, because they love darkness and they hate the light. And the third reason that the Lord gives here, that sacred scripture provides for us, as to why would people refuse the glorious light and free offer of the gospel, of the light of God, why would they refuse it? The third reason is because they fear that their wicked deeds might be exposed. They fear that their wickedness might be exposed. Again, verse 20, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light, lest his works should, and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. So there is this fear that coming to Christ will expose me. I'll be found out. This word exposed, it has to do with, obviously, exposure has this idea of not wanting other people to know about it. You're concealing things, but it also bears with it this idea of shame. You don't want the shame of acknowledging that you were wrong, that your decisions in life were evil, that you've lived a way that is against God. So there's shame that you don't want that comes with it. But not only shame, there's also this conviction that you don't want. I don't want to be told that what I'm feeling is wrong. And I know if I become a Christian, you're just going to say to me, well, that thing that you're living for is wrong. And I don't want to be told that. So the reason people choose to stay in darkness rather than come to the light is because they love darkness, they hate the light, and they do not want their wickedness to be exposed. And it's a very interesting thing. With some people, this idea of exposed, shame, and conviction, in some people, it can be a combination of all three of those. Maybe they're doing things in secret, and they know that it'll ruin them, their career, if it comes out. So they try to hide it further, and they get deep and dig further into the dark pit that they're in. And maybe it's that, but some people glory in that which is shameful. They're not ashamed at all of their wickedness. And for them, the real issue is conviction. They don't want to come into the light because they don't want to be told that your lifestyle, the decisions you're doing, are in fact against God. God is opposed to you and what you're doing. And because they love what they're doing, they reject the gospel of Christ. Do not tell me I'm wrong. You get your physician, heal thyself. You get yourself together first before you tell me about my sin or whatever it is. They'll use excuses like this. And what that's really showing is they do not want him to come into the light because they do not want to be exposed, as Christ says here. See, because the truth of the matter is one cannot come close to God and not be exposed and uncovered. This is what the writer of Hebrews says. And he's saying, listen, you may hide now in the darkness and not wanting to be exposed, but here's the truth of the matter. Everyone will stand before the eyes of him to whom we all must give an account, where everything will be uncovered and exposed before him. Jesus says it this way: everything you whispered in secret will one day be shouted from the rooftops. Everything you've done in private will one day be made public. And this is just talking about how the things you thought you could get away with, God has seen and God will judge you for. But again, those who reject the light, they live and they love this darkness. And so this is the answer to the question of, well, why? The light, the revealing light, the salvation, the offer of glory, of forgiveness, of full and free pardon, of mercy everlasting. All of this has been offered. Why would anybody in their right mind reject it? Here are the reasons Jesus gives. They love their sin. They hate the light. They hate Christ. And they don't want to give up what they love. They don't want it to be exposed, the shame or the conviction that will come along with being brought into light. So that's the reason why people reject Christ. It's not, really complicated to understand. Well, why do people not come to Christ? Because they love sin. And they've weighed it, salvation or continuing in sin, and in their mind they have concluded, this is my choice. This is preferable to me. So that's the first response people have to the revealing light. And Christ gives us those three reasons of why people refuse to come into the light. But some do come into the light. The second response is some come into the light. They desire to come into the light. The light of the gospel is offered, is shown before them, and they stand up from the dark corner in which they were, and they walk towards the light. And they say, yes, finally I can see. Finally, just as Paul, the scales have fallen off my eyes and I can now finally see things clearly. I thought I could see before, but in reality I was blind. I thought I was alive before, but now I see that I was actually dead. And some people do come into the light. So these are the two responses. Hide from it or come into it. It's pretty basic. And those who come into the light are showing their union with the victorious second Adam. Those who hide from the light show they are united truly in spirit to Adam the first. Those who come into the light show that they are truly united to the victorious second Adam, who is the light of God. Why would people do this? Okay, Jesus tells us why people would stay in the darkness. Why would anybody come into the light? If this is who we are by nature, people who love darkness, people who hate the light, and this is all of humanity by nature. This is what we all choose by nature. We do not want to be exposed for who we really are. If that's who we are, then we have to ask the question, well, why would anyone come into the light at all? And the answer that Jesus gives is in this whole section, when you think about his whole teaching, he's already told us this because he's been talking about the new birth. But he reminds us again of this at the close here. The reason people come into the light, they're coming into the light, shows that it was carried out by God. The reason people move from the darkness and come into the light is because God did a work in their life. That's the reason. In verse 21, but whoever does what is true comes into the light. This idea of what is true has to do with this idea of acting honorably or doing what is right. Those who do what is right come into the light. Why? So that they may clearly see that their works have been carried out in God. Literally, that what they have done has been the work of God. They come into the light, and what this shows is that God has been at work. It is God who does the saving work of bringing someone from darkness into the light. Men do not get the privilege or the right to boast about their own moral decisions or their own, you know, I just decided it was time to get it off that filthy darkness and come into the light, so I did it. Maybe that's what you think happened, but in reality, God rescued you. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He, the Lord God, he delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what salvation is. We were slaves in the dominion of darkness, and God says, no longer. And he delivers us from the dominion of darkness and transfers us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And so the reason people come out of the darkness into the light of Christ is because God has done a saving work. Because the new birth has happened. Everything Christ has been saying in this passage. You see, those who act honorably, those who do what is true, as Jesus says here in verse 21, do so because God has done a work in them. And therefore, they do not boast and glory in their own decision-making abilities, in their own, you know, wising up to what's true and false or whatever. But as they grow in Christian maturity, what they will begin to see more clearly is that everything good that has happened in their life has been the result of God's good, merciful, saving hand. And they begin to give all glory to God. The Apostle Paul says this so much in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He's talking about all this wisdom of the world and how the wisdom of the world could not arrive at the saving knowledge of Christ. And men love to boast in their wisdom, how much they know, how much they've mastered in terms of philosophy and things like this. And Paul closes that chapter off. Again, this is very historically important because, again, he's writing to the city of Corinth. Where is Corinth? It's in Greece, close to Athens, the center of all philosophical learning in the ancient world. And he writes to these Grecian Christians, and he says this, let the one who boasts boast in this alone, that he knows the Lord. This is the only boasting that Christ, we have been known by Christ and we know Christ. And so this is what we see here. The person who comes from the darkness into the light does so because they have their works, this coming from darkness and light, have been carried out by God himself. D.A. Carson, in his commentary on John, says it this way. This strange expression, that whoever does what is true. This strange expression makes it clear that the lover of light is not some intrinsically superior person. If he or she enjoys the light, it is because all that has been done through God. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not because some people are smarter, more intellectually sound, more well-versed in the things of religion. The person who comes from the darkness to light has done so because God has done a work. You see, Jesus closes his passage off by saying, one person loves darkness and refuses to give up their works of lawlessness. Another person loves light and gives and walks in that light and does all for the glory of God. Renounces all deeds of darkness. Lives a life of repentance. And Jesus is focusing in the close here on this very practical question. This very practical question, because you think he's probably talking to Nicodemus, and this whole time Nicodemus is very confused and even responds in annoyance at first and then just in exasperation. How can these things be? What you're saying is impossible, Jesus. And Jesus is getting to the very end of the matter here. This very practical, and he's helping Nicodemus to see, how do you know? How do you know if you're someone who has darkness or light in your soul? How do you know? How can I know? Am I in the light or am I in the darkness? Is there any way to tell? What about me? And Jesus shows us very clearly and he gives us the answer to that question. The answer is a person who has come into the light has come to Christ by faith. That's what it means to be in the light. You are resting in Christ alone for your salvation. You have come into the light of Christ by faith, and you strive to live and to stay in that light. Live, as Paul says, in Christ. That's the evidence that a person has come into the light. They are resting on Christ alone, and they are desiring to live in the light of Christ. They're desiring to live in Him. The evidence that a person is in the domain of darkness is they have not come to Christ by faith, and their life is not lived for the desire of knowing Christ and making Him known. It's about their own glory, their own appetites, their own wants, their own desires. See, those who are in the dark live in disbelief of Christ, with a love for their sin, seeking to conceal it, refusing to give it up for the sake of Christ. Those who are in the light walk by faith in Christ. They love the Lord. They strive to live in conformity with His Word. It will be very imperfect, but there is this ruling desire. And at times this desire can be very much covered by worries and cares of life. But deep down it's still there. The embers of the fire are still alive. They understand that Christ not only is the way of salvation, but He also shows us the way of how we should live. We see that Thy Word is a lamp, a light unto my path. They want to shine the light of Christ to others, and they want to give all glory to God alone for anything good that has come from them. See, Jesus is closing this section by saying, Nicodemus, you came to me in the dark. Are you going to stay there? The light of the world is there in front of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, at the end of this, he's posed with this question. Are you going to show, by rejecting me, a love of the darkness? Or are you going to renounce the darkness and follow the light of God? Are you going to embrace the light, Nicodemus, that is here sitting before you? Or are you going to slink back away into the darkness from whence thou came? Are you going to come into the light and believe in the crucified and risen again Lord that has been clearly declared to you and renounce your deeds of darkness and praise and glorify the God of your salvation? This is a decision you have before you, Nicodemus. And my friends, this is the same decision you have before yourselves this day. The Word of God has been set before you. Christ is the life, the light of the world. In Him is no darkness at all. Forgiveness, full and free pardon and mercy are found only in Him and in Him alone. The word of God has been set before you today, life and death, light and darkness. Will you remain in darkness or will you come into the light? My friends, let this not be said of you. Light came to them, but they loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But rather may this be said of you. Light came to them, and they rejoiced and glorified God and basked in the brilliance of that light forevermore into the unending time of eternity. Light and darkness are before you. Choose light and live. Please stand with me as I close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage of sacred scripture, which we have read and heard. It speaks so plainly to us. It does not try to deal with us as in too high of a way, but it tells us very simply that this is the judgment. Christ has come into the world to save it. But left to ourselves, Lord, we love wickedness. We love that which is opposed to Christ. This day, Father, we pray that your Spirit might bring those in darkness into the marvelous light of Christ. And that those who are in the light of Christ might rejoice, might demonstrate and live out the joy of their salvation, not being consumed by the passing things below, but being consumed with the glory that is ours in Christ. Help us this day in this. I pray in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.